स्वं भरताय प्रतिबोधितां प्रकटता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाचारिणीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वर्षिणी.
Okay, so we're chapter 8, verse 10.
Prayanakale manasa chalena, Prayanakale manasa chalena, Bhaktya yukto yoga phalena chaiva, Bhaktya yukto yoga phalena chaiva, Bhruvor madhye pran.
Oh, the typo.
Pranamavesha samyaka. Bhruvor madhye pranamavesha samyaka. Satam param purusham upayati divyam. Prayana kale manasa chalena. Bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bhruvor madhye pranamavesha samyaka satam param purusham upayati divyam.
Where's the typo?
Well, it's in a different book, but it should say pranam avesha, pranam avesha, mm-hmm. And I have pranam bhavesha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You should have an M there, pranam, mm-hmm. Pranam avesha. Prayana kale manasa chalena, manasa acha, if I break the sandhi, prayana kale. Compound prayana dash kale manasa achalena bhaktya yuktaha yoga balena cha eva bhruvoho madhye pranam avesha samyak saha tam param purusham upaiti divyam.
You know, Rob, we had this problem last week. The sound was not good. Testing. As it is now, this is the best I can do. Is it any better? Maybe the end of the online is coming.
But it was going, it was functioning at the end, right, last time?
Yeah, it was.
That's funny.
Is there any microphone jack with your computer?
Yeah, but it won't be that simple. I have to change things inside to do that, so I can't do it now.
Yeah, it must be some microphone setting, actually.
There's something.
I mean, it's got to be.
But it can be, because it was...
It came on at the end,
you know. That's the puzzling part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's strange.
It's a little better now, because I've kind of moved the computer a little bit closer. But still, there never used to be a problem, so...
a lot of static on the web, but why, John? That's not my fault, is it, or our computer's fault?
This has got to be an area of heavy use. This has got to be an area of heavy use.
Well, maybe it is now. Maybe there's been a lot of people who are using the service now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is the best we can do. I'll put it online tomorrow if you just want to sign off if it's too weak. You can just get it on the archives tomorrow. That's what we'll have to do. I'm going to be doing this class as long as we do it. How long we'll keep doing it, I don't have no idea. But I want to do it a little bit differently, more technical, a little bit more technical. It means that if I think of something, I'm going to have Swamiji's thing here, but he uses some technical terms. I have to just remember. And then I may refer to his text to explain some of those things that he's talking about. I could do the Bhasha, I could do it out of the Bhasha too, but you don't have quite enough Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's just try it this way. I just have an idea. This is a small class and people have been sitting for a long time. So let's just see how it goes.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We'll see. Prayana Kale. Prayana Kale means, it's a technical term, prayana, it means at the time the breath goes out, at the time of death. And Swamiji in his Bhasha says, at the time of death, here we're talking about traveling, the ejection of the soul, udana, right? When the soul departs the physical body, when the jiva departs the physical body. So prayana kale, kala means time. So prayana kale is the locative, at the time of the prayana, as of the departure of the breath. So at the time that the soul leaves the body. Manasa chalena, achalena. Achala means a mind, chala means agitated or active or moving. Achala means it's steady, it's firm, focused. Manasa, achalena is in the instrumental singular. Manasa is an instrumental singular too. So with a mind which is achala, with an achala mind, means a mind which is steady, which is still, okay, which is focused. So at the time of death, with a mind which is still, bhakcha yuktaha. Yuktaha here means, comes from the root yuj, means to join, right, or to meet. So it also means yuktaha, means to be endowed with. The one who has, the one who's endowed with bhakti. Bhaktya yuktaha means the one who has bhakti. Bhaktya is in the instrumental singular, bhaktya. So endowed with bhakti, with devotion, and endowed with a mind that is steady. Yoga balena cha eva, and one who has the strength in yoga, means the one who has a certain mastery over yoga. Yoga means the Ashtanga yoga, means the ability to do pranayama, the ability to practice samadhi, to control all of the sense organs and bring the mind into a state of resolution, you know, and to control the prana, right? To bring the mind into a samadhi state, an absorbed state, and to be able to control the prana through pranayama. Okay, so with one who has a bala means strength, who has a strength, who has yoga bala, the strength in yoga. Okay. For such a person at the time of death, then what can they do? Bruvoho madye, pranam avesha. Having held the prana, having can avesha means having gathered the prana and held the prana, having placed. Gathered the prana and placed the prana madhye in the middle of your eyebrows, in the third eye position. So having taken the prana and placed the prana in your third eye, in between the eyebrows, bruvoho means the eyebrows. In the middle of the bruvoho is the is the genitive singular for eyebrows. Genitive dual. In the middle of the eyebrows, having placed the prana and held it there firmly, having firmly placed the prana, right? One's prana in between the eyebrows. Okay?
Is that going to be explained?
Yes. But I want you to get the sense good first. What? That person, saha, he, tam padam purusham, that supreme purusha, Brahman. Tam padam purusham, accusative singular, upaiti, he attains, he gains, that supreme purusham, that is divyam. Divyam means self-effulgent consciousness, that chit. Okay? So he attains that supreme person, which is divyam, which is consciousness. Divyam means that which is effulgent. Okay. So here, what does it mean? All of these verses, actually beginning from verse 5, are now starting to talk about what happens to a person, to a jnani, or a mumukshu, or a yogi, right, when they die. So here, these next few verses are all about what's going on at the time of death. So here, in this one, at the time of death, a yogi, who is a vidvan? Swamiji makes a note of this in his bhasha. The yogi means the one who has ashtanga yoga, the one who knows pranayama, the one who can absorb the mind and hold the mind within the self, with the self. You know, such a person who has jnanam, at the time of death, through the practice of yoga, can actually, and Shankar goes into a little bit more about this, can actually first put your mind in your heart. Say if you're contemplating, there's different, what we call sthanas, there's different places where you can put your mind. You can locate your mind in your heart, or in your throat, or above your head. There's so many places that you can actually use as a sthana for your concentration. Okay? It's like putting your mind there. So there's one meditation where you can put the mind in your heart, and then you imagine what we call a nadi, an energy meridian, going out to your third eye. And so you move your consciousness up in through that nadi, up into that point right between your eyebrows, and you hold your prana there. This is for yogi. That's why we probably couldn't do it. You absorb your mind, hold it in this heart sthanam, which is a sacred chakra, really. You know, this is all the chakra system and so many things. You hold your concentration there, bring it up through this energy meridian, up into this third eye, and then you hold your prana there. With the incoming breath, there's no outgoing breath. And through this process, you actually bring about your own death. And you do it with a mind that is focused on the Atma, the self. And you bring the life to an end in that way. So some yogis do that. Swamiji says, you know, because this person is going to the Param Purusham, which is Divyam, which he takes to be meaning Brahman, not Brahmaji, the person has to be a jnani. He also says, though, that because the person is using will in order to bring an end to his own life, there's some kartritvam there, that can cause the person to have to go to Brahmaloka, which is the highest loka, and of all of the lokas that there are, all of the planes of existence that there are in the creation, there's only two lokas where Brahmajnanam is available. This loka, the Bhuloka, and the highest loka, Brahmaloka. And so some people go leave who are have gained knowledge here, but for various reasons don't have jnana nishtha. They have knowledge, they know, but they don't have a resolution, they don't have jnana nishtha. There's lack of vairagya, or there's still kartritvam, whatever. That person, because of the punya and because of their condition in terms of jnana, can go to Brahmaloka and gain knowledge in Brahmaloka from Brahmaji, as the story goes, from Brahmaji, and gain moksha at that time. And then are released from the body that they're enjoying in Brahmaloka at the time of dissolution. Because if you're able to go to Brahmaloka, which is considered the highest heaven world within the sphere of the creation, there's no death for somebody who's in Brahmaloka. The death is the resolution of the creation. If we think of this creation as cyclical. So the creation is manifest, is sustained for, you know, millions of years, and then it resolves. When it resolves, then everybody is now in a manifest condition, right? And so for the jiva, the jiva who is a jnani in Brahmaloka, for that jiva there's no coming back. You can be a jiva in Brahmaloka without Brahmajnanam, right? And for that person, there is no death for you as long as the loka is there. But when the world goes into unmanifest condition, at that time you as a jiva go into unmanifest condition and you come back. Just like if you go into deep sleep. When you go into deep sleep, you come back, even though when you're in deep sleep, there's no experience of duality manifest for you at that time. If you don't have knowledge, even if you're in Brahmaloka, when the creation goes into an unmanifest condition, you as the seed, the jiva, go into unmanifest condition. You haven't been released from your jiva form. Because the jiva form is just being a jiva is just a product of ignorance. You're still Brahman. You're Brahman whether you think you're a jiva or not. The reality is that you're Brahman. It's Advaita, right? But if that ajnanam hasn't been removed, then the jiva is still there, right? And nothing's going to remove that. Right? It'll be an unmanifest condition, just like the whole creation is in an unmanifest condition. But when the creation comes back into manifestation, the jiva also is back into manifestation. So I could say the jiva is beginningless. There's no first manifestation, where there's no prior condition for the jiva. There's an end of the jiva because there can be an end to ignorance. Yeah. But there's no beginning to ignorance. Right? What would the prior condition of ignorance be? So they say just like there's no beginning to the creation, there's no beginning to the jiva. You know, it's mind-boggling. If you have no beginning, there's no first time that you are here. Just like there's no first time that the creation is here. But then if you think about it, you know, Brahman is free from time. Brahman, there's no beginning to Brahman. Mm. And Maya, Brahman has never been without Maya. Maya is natural to Brahman. And Brahman is, the Maya is not timeless because it's going through, it's cyclical, but it's beginninglessly cyclical. And so as long as Maya is there, Ajnana is there, on the other side, Ajnana is the other side of Maya. That's why we say Ishwara has Vikshepa, not Avarna. Avarna is that covering power. For Ishwara, the Maya is Vikshepa. It's just projection. It's a projection of infinite knowledge. But for the jivas, all part of the projection, there's a covering. It's the limitation of that part causes Ajnana. Right? Because the mind and the sense organs are limited in their scope. Anyway, there's no beginning for the no beginning for the jiva, but there's an end to the jiva. And so here, why did we get off on this? Because of Brahmaloka. And if for some reason a person who gains knowledge here but doesn't gain nishtha in the knowledge, that person, instead of having, this is where I was trying to go with this, instead of having what we call jivan mukti, liberation, mukti is liberation, jivan while living, jivan mukti is liberation while living, you would be called a jivan mukta. You're a jivan mukta, one who is living liberated, right? That means you've gained this knowledge, your mind has the Sadhana Chatushtiya, the Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadamadi, Chakal, these six qualifications, and Mumukshutvam, all of them in full measure. And so you have Jnana Nishtha. There's no lack of Vairagya, there's no Kartratvam, let me do this, let me do that. It's not, all of that, it's not that you don't have will, it's just it's not necessary to use it. And because I can deal with the situation, I can respond to the situation that's given to me. I don't need to change it. I need to respond to it dharmically. Okay. So, for the person who has jnana nishtha, they're called a jiva mukta. If a person gains knowledge, but hasn't fructified fully, then they have what they call krama mukti. Krama means it happens in order. First this, and this, and then this. They say such a person, in this verse, they're saying a person who's a yogi can be a jivan mukta, they're a vidvan. They have vidvan means one who has knowledge. They're a vidvan. They can be just a jnani and have liberation now, or they'll, because of the use of the will, right, that will have to be used to decide to end things now. If that karpit twam was there, they can go to Brahmaloka, gain knowledge from Brahmaji, and be released in that way. So, there's a lot of tradition in here. There's a lot of beliefs. A lot of this is belief, right? Belief that's really contained, it's contained within the tradition, contained within the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Puranas. You know, it's just to the way they think about things. Mm-hmm. So,
krama?
Krama means an order. It's a liberation that takes place in stages. Mm-hmm. You know, first this, and this, and this, and this. So here the krama is you gain knowledge. Mm-hmm. Here, but the vairagya and other pieces are not matured. Mm-hmm. And so you have different, you'll have different experiences that you have to go through. Or you can, if your knowledge isn't clear, you can go and be taught by Brahmaji and Brahmaloka. You have enough punya for that. That's the idea. Yes. Okay, so so the idea here is the strongest position here is that a vidvan, one who has jnana, one who has knowledge, who is a yogi, can exit this body through their will, through their use of yoga, and in so doing, reach the Purusha. Reach the Purusha means through knowledge. If you have to really reach, you have to reach Brahmaji. If there's really reaching in terms of distance, if there's reaching in terms of travel, then you have to go to Brahmaloka and reach Brahmaji and then be taught by Brahmaji this knowledge. If it's reaching in terms of knowledge, right? Because we're going to be using all through the Gita, you're using it. You go to Brahman. You go to Brahman. You are Brahman. How do you go to Brahman? Right? How do you reach Brahman? How do you attain Brahman? How are you going to attain Brahman? You already are Brahman. So it's not attaining in terms of going. It's attaining in terms of jnana. Right? And if it is attaining in terms of going, it's not Brahman. Right? It's attaining in terms of going. Then it's going to be Brahmaji, or you're going to a loka or something like that. It has to be made clear, you know. But here, because they say the Param Purusham, the highest Purusha, it's not Aparam Purusham, which is the Guru Brahman. Param Purusham, the highest Purusha, which is Divyam. Divyam means self-effulgent, you know. So Swamiji takes for the first meaning that person who's a yogi, exits through his own strength of yoga, exits this body, and with that, putting the exits, not exit, it's exits is wrong. He puts, you have to be careful how you say this, he puts his prana in between his eyebrows and doesn't exhale. For a jiva mukta, there's really no exit. Exit means travel. If you're exiting, if the jiva is exiting, you know, like exiting the body, then you're traveling. And you have somebody that the vital force is exiting, you're on your way somewhere. The jiva mukta doesn't travel. There's not any exit. Right, so anyway. Let's go on. Because all of them are going to be such a monk. Yadaksharam Veda Vido Padanti. Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vadanti Vishanti Yajyatayo Vitaragaha Vishanti Yajyatayo Vitaragaha Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti tatche padam sangrahena pravakshe. Tatche padam sangrahena pravakshe. Yat aksharam veda vidyaha varanti vishanti yat yatiyaha vitalagaha. Yat icchantaha brahmacharyam charanti tatche padam sangrahena pravakshe. What he's doing now in this verse, he's going to introduce Om Yonkar, and he's going to introduce it through this padam, this place, which is Brahman, this place which is Brahman, that we're talking about. So listen to what he says, yet aksharam veda vidyaha vadanti. Which aksharam? Aksharam? Aksharam can mean letter. Sometimes aksharam is actually a word, means a syllable, a symbol, a syllable. And the word om is sometimes called aksharam. But Brahman, here is Brahman. Brahman is also called aksharam. Aksharam means not only a syllable, but it also means that which is imperishable. Akshara, that which doesn't perish. That which is immutable, that which is free from change. So, he says, that which is aksharam, vedavidyaha, those, the Vedavids, are the ones who know the Veda, have knowledge of the Vedas, right? Which include the Upanishads. So, those who know the Vedas, namits of plural, vedanti, they talk about that aksharam Brahman, that which those who know the Vedas talk about, that aksharam which those who know the Vedas talk about, that imperishable one, vishanti yad yatayaha vitaragaha, that aksharam which the yatis are the ones who have control over their sense organs, who have control over their mind, control over their sense organs, who are sannyasis, really. The sannyasis. Those sannyasis who are vitaragaha. Did I say that? Vitaragaha. The ones for whom the raga is gone. Raga means passion and desire. I need this to be happy. Vita means is gone. So vitaragaha. So the yetis for whom the raga has gone. Those yetis, that aksharam, that which those yetis for whom the raga is gone, that which they enter. Right? Those who know the Vedas speak about, those who are sannyasis, that one whom the sannyasis enter, yet ichantaha brahmacharyam charanti, that desiring which, brahmacharyam charanti, they practice brahmacharya. The mumukshus, the brahmacharis, practice brahmacharya, become brahmacharis. Why? A brahmachari is somebody who lives a celibate life with the teacher, focused solely on this knowledge. That's what brahmacharya is. It's not the emphasis isn't on being celibate, even though celibacy is part of brahmacharya, but the emphasis is on, this is my single point of pursuit. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not pursuing anything else. I'm pursuing only this. And in fact, we make that commitment. We take vows for that, for brahmacharya, as well as for sannyasa. And so you devote your life to that study. So desiring which, right? They practice brahmacharya. That padam, that sacred place, also means goal, also means that sacred place. That padam, sangrahena pravakshe, I will tell you, so Krishna's talking to Arjuna, I will tell te to you, I will tell that pada, that sacred place, I will tell sangrahena briefly, to you. I'm going to tell you about that briefly. Okay? Tell you about, yeah, it very succinctly, because it's Om. I'm going to tell you about this very succinctly, right? Tell you about that sacred place which the knowers of the Vedas talk about, that in that sacred place which is Akshram, imperishable, which the Vedavids talk about, which the yetis, the sannyasis, for who have given up all of their raga, for whom not given up, is gone. Vita means not given up. The raga is gone. It means they have vairagya, right? Because they have vairagya, the knowers of the Vedas, they have vairagya, you know, there's nothing to stop them from being that, because the lack of vairagya is not there anymore. And the brahmacharis, the ones who live them, and those who practice a very disciplined life, desiring that is the reason that they live that life. That padam I'm going to now tell you succinctly. Okay? So let's look. These two verses are together. Sarvadwarani samyamya. Sarvadwarani samyamya. Mano hridi nivijyata. Mano hridi nivijyata. Murjyandhayatmana pranam. Murjyandhayatmana pranam. Astito yoga dharanam. Astito yoga dharanam. Oh, sorry, dharanam.
Dharanam.
Om itje kaksharam brahma. Vyaharam mam anusmaran. Yaprayati cha jandeham. Siyati paramam gatim. Sayati paramam gatim. He says, sarva dwarani samyamya manas manaha hridi nirujyacha murjni adhaya atmanaha pranam ashtitaha yogadharanam. Om iti ekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusvaran yaha prayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim. He says, sarva dwarani samyamya. Having controlled all of the doors, dwara means door. Sarva dwarani samyamya. Having closed all of your sense organs, having the sarva dwaras are all of the doors to knowledge. Those are the sense organs. So having pulled in, samyamya means restrained. Having pulled in, you know, controlled all of the sense organs. Then, manaha hridi nirujyacha. And then having restrained the manas, the mind, in the heart, in the buddhi. So you've closed all, having closed all of the sense organs, and having put the mind into the buddhi. Nirujya means holding something, restraining it there, putting it in the heart and holding it there. Then he says, murdni adhaya atmanaha pranam astitaha. It says, let me just read the Bhashya here for a minute. I got confused on something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Adaya, having placed in the climbable past participle, Murtni from Murtan. Murtan is the top of the head, the highest chakra, the top of the head. Having placed Atmanah Pranam, he just means his prana. Having placed his prana at the top of the head, he astitaha, he remains yoga dharanam. He remains as one who is holding through yoga. There's some words that were out here, that's why I got confused. He's holding by means of yoga. What is he holding? His prana. This is very similar to the verse that we did before. He's holding his prana by means of his yoga, like yoga bala that we had previously. By means of yoga, he's holding his prana, having placed it here at this chakra at the top of the head, right? Having closed all of his sense organs, having brought the having placed the mind in the heart, then again, I suppose through the nadi, he brings it up, he brings the prana up now to the top, very top of his head, and he holds it there. Then what? That's why these two verses are together. Then om iti ekaksharam. Om iti eka aksharam. This now is here the om iti, this single syllable. Here aksharam means syllable. Remember before it meant that which is immutable? Here aksharam means syllable. Om. This single syllable, eka aksharam, which is Brahman. Om is, I'll talk about this in a minute. Om is Brahman. Okay? This sacred syllable, Om, Brahman, which is the sacred syllable, Om, Vyaharan, chanting it, chanting this syllable, chanting Om, Mam Anismaran, remembering me, chanting Om, this syllable, which is Brahman, chanting Om, Yaha Prayati, he goes, Tyajan Deham, leaving this body, it's another exit, sorry, leaving this body, abandoning this body, the one who goes, that one who goes, leaving this body, he yati paramam gatim, he goes to that supreme gati, abandoning this, remembering me, he who leaves this body and goes, he goes to that paramam gatim. Okay, so here, or Swamiji says, let me see what Shankara says here. See, Swamiji, Shankara doesn't comment on in the same way that Swamiji does. But it makes sense what Swamiji says here. This person is, has jnana, has knowledge. The next one's like the same way. It doesn't all hang together that well for me, but it's just something to tell you what it is. Well, these two verses are looking at Krama Mukti, according to Swamiji. Shankar's not talking about it this way, but I kind of understand where Swamiji's doing it. There might be some other bhashas also on this. This person is a yogi who's a meditator, right? And meditating, he withdraws all of his sense organs. He withdraws and holds his mind and his heart. He does that same process as bringing it up through the nadis to the top of his head, and he ejects with the strength of his yoga, right? And then chanting Om, okay? He does this while he's chanting Om, remembering me as Ishwar. So I have to bring something in here about Om again. We're thinking of me, and Swamiji talks about remember. It's anusmaran, means remembering me. You can't remember something that you don't know. So he has to have some jnanam. So remembering me as Ishwara, then abandoning the body, he goes, and going, he attains that paramamgatim. Swamiji looks at this as krama mukti, you know, because he's traveling. He takes this verse as abandoning the body, he goes, and going, he goes to that paramamgatim. That highest gati, that highest abode, which is Brahmaloka. So he takes this as krama mukti. And later in this next verse, he says, the person has, as we'll see in the next verse, the person has knowledge, you know, has knowledge but has dehatma buddhi. So they're always, dehatma buddhi means I have knowledge, but just by, because of just the, by habit, you know, by habit, that identification with the body continues. And so how to break that dehatma buddhi is by continually contemplation, continually doing nididhyasana, continually bringing your mind back. And so this person practices that, he has to practice that meditation until that dehatma buddhi is broken. So that's what he's doing with these two verses. But then let's do this next verse, and then he kind of winds it up there. Ananya cheta satatam, ananya cheta satatam, yo mam smadati nityashaha, yo mam smadati nityashaha, tasyaham sulabhat paritha, tasyaham sulabhat paritha, nitya yuktasya yoginaha, nitya yuktasya yoginaha, ananya chetaha satatam, yaha mam smarati nityashaha, tasya aham sulabha partha, nitya yuktasya yoginaha. He says, this one, right, whose mind is ananya. Ananya chetaha means somebody whose mind, whose vrittis don't go anywhere else. Means the one who only sees me. If I'm seeing you, I'm seeing Ishwara. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm seeing Ishwara. That's the idea. Ananya chetaha. Doesn't matter what the form is. I see it as Ishwara. It doesn't matter what the vritti is. It doesn't matter what the emotion is. It doesn't matter what the reaction is. It doesn't matter what the perception is. What I am seeing is Ishwara. That's ananya chetaha. That's from chetas, in the nominative of singular. So ananya means other. Ananya, not another. The one whose mind doesn't see another. The one whose vrittis, the chetas, the one whose vrittis are not of another. So whatever I see is Ishwara. So such a person, he who being an ananya chetaha, satatam constantly, Mam Smriti. Remember, is constantly remembering me. Such one who constantly remembers me. Nityashaha. Nityashaha, because he already had the Satatam, the one who's constantly remembering me. Then Nityashaha. For a good length of time. That's the Nitya means always. Satatam means always. So you're not going to say always, always. Right? So Swamiji will say, the one whose mind is devoted to me, the one who is constantly thinking, constantly remembering me, again smriti, like anismaran, smriti, remembering me means I know, but I have to remember. Right? Means I have knowledge, but I have to remember. I have to always bring that knowledge back. Right? And so the one who is always remembering me, Nityashaha, always for a good length of time, for a period of time. He's always doing this for a good period of time. Tasya aham sulabaha. For that person, right? Tasya aham sulabaha paritha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For that yogi, right? I am aham sulabaha. I am easily gained, hey Partha. For that yogi who is not away from me, nitya yuktaha means always with me. Nitya is always. Yuktaha, always joined with me, is the idea. For I am easily gained by that person. Means that dehatma buddhi will go. Okay? The misidentification, the dehatma buddhi. For the person who all sees everything as Ishwara, the one who is constantly remembering me, all of those qualities, the viveka, ekshavi, the vairagya, all of the things that are needed for that jnana-nishtha, all of those things will easily come. Such a person, that person will easily gain me. Then he says, let's do one more, just quick. Mamupaitya punarajanma. Mamupaitya punarajanma. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Napnivanti mahatmanaha. Napnivanti mahatmanaha. Samsiddhim paramam gataha. Samsiddhim paramam gataha. Mam upaitya punarajanma dukkha alayam ashashvatam na apnivanti mahatmanaha samsiddhim paramam gataha. He says, mam upaitya, having reached me, punarajanma, again a birth, dukkha alayam, which is an abode of dukkha. Janma, a birth, which is an abode of dukkha, sorrow, and is ashashvatam, finite, time-bound, na apnivanti. They don't gain again the Having gained me, the Mahatmas, the Mahatmanaha, nominative plural, those great souls, those Mahatmas, na apnivanti, they don't take another birth. A birth which, and what is the nature of janma, of birth? They don't take another birth. Birth which is an abode of dukkha, and which is finite by nature. They're not born again into a birth. But now, you have to understand, it's not that they don't take another birth, bad birth. If they don't take another birth, which by its nature is an abode of sorrow, it's an alaya, it's a place of suffering, and by its nature, it's also, if that's not enough, it's finite. So it's going to come, it's a place of suffering, and it's finite, it's subject to end, it's subject to death. So the Mahatmas, they, samsiddhim paramam gataha, they have instead, those Mahatmas who have gained gataha, the samsiddhim paramam, the supreme success. Samsiddhim is the highest thing that you can achieve, that which is the most to be achieved, the supreme success, nishta. It's really jnana nishta. Those Mahatmas, having reached me, I mean through knowledge, they've gained me through knowledge, there's no one there to reach, having reached me through knowledge, they're not born again into this abode of suffering. Right? It's not only the birth that's an abode of suffering, the whole creation itself is suffering, and the whole creation itself is subject to birth and death. It's the nature of the beast. Yeah. And so they're liberated from that. Okay, let's stop there. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om